Hello, and welcome to the Anti-Fragile Tarot podcast. This is your resident card slinger, Susanna, and today I have a deck review for you. Next to me, Mr. Anti-Fragile just waved because he is getting a front row seat to this episode. I kept putting off recording it, and I'm like, yes, okay, I need to get this out there because a lot of my friends are getting into the content creation business. A lot of them are doing things like gaming streams, but you know, I'm not really a gamer. I mean, I play a lot of games, but anyway, neither here nor there. What I do is put out podcasts on occasion, and I'm going to try to do that more regularly. So, a bunch of people said that they missed my deck reviews, and that's really easy content for me to just kind of throw out there, even if I'm not feeling particularly inspired. Although today's podcast is partially brought to you by a fun cocktail I made with Gosling's Diet Ginger Beer that Mr. Antifragile picked up for me, and a Kings County Distillery whiskey that's infused with chocolate that a good friend sent me. It is a strange mix, but that works because we are covering a strange tarot deck. So, on deck today, I have the official Nightmare Before Christmas tarot deck. Anyone who knows me knows that I love Nightmare Before Christmas. Tim Burton is super problematic. We know this. This is not new news. But for baby goths growing up in the 90s, Nightmare Before Christmas was an absolutely indelible cultural touchstone. And it still remains pretty good. Like, the entire thing is just a huge cultural appropriation allegory about how not to do the thing and then how you can participate in the thing when you're invited. Like, it's literally all there. And the aesthetic remains great. And Catherine O'Hara is a goddamn national treasure. Yes, I did just finish Schitt's Creek, and it might be my third favorite TV show after Buffy and The Good Place. So, but in my list of top five all-time favorite movies, Nightmare Before Christmas still has a place. Still watch it a couple times a year. I have an absurd amount of Nightmare Before Christmas socks that my friends and loved ones have given me. And now I have this tarot deck. You can't see it, but I'm brandishing it. So I picked this up because I am a sucker for official tarot decks. Nothing against fan-made stuff here. I super appreciate fan art, fan-made items, but personally, this is where I'm a little bit of a purist, and if there's an official deck of a thing, I will always prefer that over a fan-made one. Or I guess almost always. I mean, I guess it would depend on the fan-made one, right? But I really do like when a deck is put together with the original intentions in mind. Fandom is amazing, and there's a lot of great arguments that fan canon, is as valid as author canon. But again, this is like a personal preference thing. I just really like official decks. So I do have a couple of other reviews on deck, but we are also going to cover the Arcana deck based on the Arcana game. And I'm going to go over the game too. That's going to be a fun episode, I think. And I have the Welcome to Night Vale tarot decks, and I'm going to do a podcast contrasting them. And I definitely have a favorite of those. So stay tuned. Some of you who talk to me outside of the podcast already know which one is my favorite. But today we have this Nightmare Before Christmas tarot. I have no idea how much Tim Burton had anything to do with this. And at this point, you know, kind of contradicting what I just said, I feel like Nightmare Before Christmas has become so crystallized and is so self-contained that a fan deck would probably be just as good, if not better. Like, I'm actually looking at the guidebook and it says Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas. Ha 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 ha. That's a sure sign that the creator doesn't have much to do with the actual property anymore. But anyway, as soon as this deck was launched, I was so excited. There were some cards that were put out. So Of course, when I first got into tarot deck collecting, as opposed to tarot card reading, one of the things I did was look for a Nightmare Before Christmas tarot. And there were some cards that were put out. I want to say it was like a Disney related thing, like Disney theme park related thing. And they were these cards that were like, they weren't tarot. You know how I've talked about how tarot is this like very specific system, and it's kind of a pet peeve of mine when people label things as tarot that aren't actually tarot? Well, there's my pet peeve. And that's kind of what these cards were. They were cute, and I'm not going to lie, if someone gave me a set of those cards as a gift, they would become a prized possession. But they weren't what I wanted in a tarot deck. So, you know, I kind of just waited and didn't really think about it. And then this popped up and I was super pumped. So I kind of waited for someone else to pick up the Nightmare Before Christmas tarot for me. But then I realized that probably everyone assumed I already had it, because of course I would already have it. So I bought it for myself. And first things first, it comes in a really nice box. Like really sturdy cardboard. There's gloss effects on the box. Very like Los Garabeo. I think this is put out by US Games though. Insight Editions. So maybe, I don't think this is even put out by any of the major companies. This is like its own thing. Well, for a deck that's not put out by a major deck publisher, it's clearly put together by people who have thought a lot about tarot card presentation. Really nice box. It has a little ribbon because the cards themselves are a really nice thick cardstock, and they're standard tarot card size. They're not oversized, they're not mini, they're just a standard deck, but they're very thick. So, you know, the 78 cards are they're about an inch altogether of like solid cardstock. And it also comes with a 120-something page guidebook. So as with many, if not most, tarot decks, I guess I have many, not most, the deck illustrator is not the same person who made the guidebook. There's pros and cons to that. I think that if, you know, you are skilled at both art and writing, then why not make your own guidebook? But I think there's also something to be said for keeping those separate. You know, tarot decks, mainstream published tarot decks, or even indie ones, they're really made to be used and enjoyed by others. So it's kind of good to have that other perspective on the cards that you're seeing through someone else's lens. So the illustrator is a gothic fantasy illustrator who has worked with Llewellyn as well as a bunch of comics companies. So that makes a lot of sense with the sensibility of these cards. And the illustrator is Abigail Larson. And the author has written a couple of books on tarot. Her name is Minerva Siegel. And she has apparently been on the Queer Witch podcast, so we like this already. She is on Instagram as Spooky Fat Babe, so definitely liking this author. And this guidebook is hefty. Obviously, it's, you know, as I said, it's over 100 pages. It's a little bit bigger than the cards themselves, so it's not the little white book that is sometimes referenced. Each of the major arcana get a full illustrated page in the guidebook with a page facing them of a little blurb and then upright and reversed meanings. The minor arcana get a smaller illustration with upright and reversed meanings. The introduction, I'm flipping through as I go. The introduction is, you know, basically just an overview of tarot. It really sounds a lot like what I say. Learning to read tarot can seem intimidating at first, but it's really quite easy when you get the hang of it. There are 78 tarot cards in a deck, and each one has a different meaning depending on whether it's drawn upright or reversed. It's like very, very straightforward. And it has a whole table of contents, actually. Wow. I this is not the first time I'm looking at this, by the way. I've already done some readings with it. But, you know, I'm not so dependent on the guidebook at this point in my life, so I don't always give it a thorough look. But because I'm doing this podcast, I am. So you have your little introductions. You have your big blurbs and illustrations of the majors. You have a good amount of info on the minors. And then there's a little section on tarot readings. So there's a little page about what you can do to care for your deck, caring and cleansing, preparing to read tarot. It's very like beginner stuff. This is clearly geared towards someone who's being given this as like a first time deck, which is great. I'm all about that. And there's some cute spreads that are, you know, three to five cards. And they are themed around Nightmare. So the first spread is called Eureka. The first card is Lament. The second card is Eureka. And the third card is Sandy Claus. So there's, you know, cute themed names for the positions of the cards. But then also, you know, what you can interpret them as. The font is pretty big, even for the minors. It's very legible. The meanings are spot on. Great little guidebook. Very cute. Has a really cute picture of Jack and Sally in a spider web on the back. What more could a Nightmare Before Christmas fan reading tarot ask for? So, on to the cards. When they come fresh out of the package, you have your majors in order and then your minor arcana. Again, I have since used them, shuffled them, played with them, loved them. So they're out of order now. But as I said, really nice thick cardstock. The backs of the cards have a gothy, it almost looks like Victorian wallpaper kind of print, black and purple. And what's nice about them, this is always a touch that I appreciate, that sometimes indie and I guess some major deck creators don't choose to do. I like when you can't tell if the card is upright or reversed from the back. It's a small touch, and it's obviously a stylistic choice when someone chooses to not to do that or not do that. But it's a touch that I really appreciate in my tarot cards. So the majors are all iconic images from Nightmare Before Tarot. Nightmare Before Christmas. I'm leaving that mistake in the podcast because I thought it was funny. So the Fool is Jack with zero. So you're very classic Fool with dog. I mean, Nightmare Before Christmas does follow the very classic hero's journey structure, which is a very established way to view tarot. So again, it really makes sense that it's an easy transition to take Nightmare Before Christmas and apply it to a tarot deck. One thing I appreciate about this deck is that the majors are gorgeous. And they're definitely slightly elevated above the minors, I would say. Between the quality of the art and the type of focus, I guess. There is a stylistic differentiation between the majors and the minors, which I like. I'm not phrasing this well because I'm not an art person, but obviously it's all the same style. Well, not obviously, because some tarot decks use different styles, but there's a sense of power in the majors that is a little bit more muted in the minors. And again, I like that. I have criticized some decks in the past and would continue to do so for not paying proper attention to the minors, but there should be some kind of energetic distinction between your majors and your minors, because the majors are bigger cards. They're bigger feelings. They're bigger moments. Whereas the minors tend to be a little bit, they tend to add more nuance and take a slightly smaller role. So majors are really, really great. I love that death is a set of cemetery gates, that idea of transition and gates. I really love it. Mr. Antifragile thought they could have done more with the death card, but I'm about it. The Hanged Man is Sandy Claus hanging from a hook, presumably in Oogie Boogie's lair. The Sun is one of my favorite cards in this deck. It's Jack Skellington with a line of Christmas lights in front of him, one light kind of on each eye socket. And it's just a really beautiful, joyous card that captures that really sunny, joyous feeling of the sun without actually introducing a sun into this world where I don't think you really see the sun. Even in like the daylight hours in Nightmare Before Christmas, it's kind of gloomy and overcast because it's Halloween Town. So I love that the creator or the illustrator of this deck has chosen to make those little stylistic choices. So overall, very happy with the majors. Oogie Boogie is the devil because, of course, I feel like there's a pretty good amount of representation between Jack and other characters, which is nice because there are a ton of characters in Nightmare Before Christmas that do kind of get overshadowed by the super major ones. The Magician is a really adorable older crone witch and a little baby witch. I think it's cute. The Star is Zero. Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm really happy overall with the majors and how they have taken moments from the movie and elevated them and really made them workable tarot deck. It's a feat that can be hard to do. All right, so on to the minors. As is often the case with fandom or themed decks, the minors have been renamed. So potions are cups, candles are wands, needles are swords, and presents are pentacles. Now, I've made this criticism before, but in this deck, it's actually different. I've often noted that decks either get cups or wands really well, and then the other one suffers. Interestingly enough, in this deck, I'm not a big fan of the pentacles. I don't know if it's just that the illustrator didn't feel as strong a connection to the pentacles or the presents, but I just don't feel that a lot of them really capture the essence of the cards. They kind of all just look like piles of presents to me. I just feel like a lot more could have been done with the presents to get the feeling of them. So like, again, like the seven of presents shows a bunch of different presents wrapped, which, you know, I guess is topical, but like, it just seems kind of lazy. That's actually a criticism that I have of some of the cards throughout all of the suits. You know, like the Nine of Potions, which is the Nine of Cups. That's kind of a difficult card to reimagine, I suppose. The OG in Rider-Waite-Smith doesn't really give you a lot to work with. But, you know, it's a bunch of potions on a shelf. It's not particularly evocative. And that's always frustrating for me as someone who does love fully pictorial minor arcana. Now, these are fully pictorial. And as much as I've criticized some of the lazier ones, the more imaginative ones are incredible. So, full disclosure, the card that I will always judge a deck by, or a card that I really always look to first, will be the Nine of Swords. In this one, Nine of Needles. This one does a thing that I've seen a lot of decks do that I don't particularly like. It has the nine, well, again, in this case, needles, but the nine swords, the nine pointy things up top, alternating points and, well, in this case, eyes, but, you know, alternating the pointy side and the less pointy side. So it's like, it's a very common modern interpretation of that aspect. So it has these like nine things, and then it'll just have something ugly to represent the anxiety of the suit. And like, I get it. I just don't like it. It's just not what I want out of a Nine of Swords. So I'm not a big fan of the Nine of Swords this deck personally, although I don't think it's a bad one, if that makes sense. Like, I think it makes sense. So it has the, it might be the clown with the tearaway face. It's definitely like a big clown, like a big scary clown on a unicycle in front of these nine needles. I mean, again, it works as a Nine of Swords. I don't really like it. I guess you're not really supposed to like the Nine of Swords. But, like, this card doesn't really do much for me. The Eight of Needles, however, Eight of Swords, is a fabulous, fabulous imagining. It has Sally stitching, or actually unstitching, her arm from her body. And the leaves that pack up her body falling out. And I think that really speaks to that sense of kind of being trapped within yourself and you being the only way to free yourself, but it potentially meaning some sacrifice, or meaning that at least you're going to feel like you're making a sacrifice when you have to get yourself out of a situation. So in terms of both beautiful imagery and meaning, this card works. Although now that I'm like staring at this card, Sally's hand is really disproportionately small. Like, she kind of looks like a giantess from the perspective of this card. And then it shows her hand by her head, and it's like freakishly small. Like, her hand is just a little bit bigger than her eye. Which, again, like, proportions are funny in Tim Burton world. But now that I'm staring at it, it's really distracting and I can't unsee it. It's still a beautiful, beautiful card. And it's a great interpretation. I also really love the Five of Candles or Wands. It has Lock, Shock, and Barrel. And Lock is strangling Shock and Barrel is just looking at them. Which I think is a great, with five candles lit in the background, by the way. Which, like, again, I think it's a really great representation of what that card really means. You know, it really gets to it. So yeah, the minor arcana in this deck is kind of a mixed bag. Like, some of the cards are super striking. Some of the minor arcana has this, like, lush, full illustration that really gets at the meaning of the card and does interesting things with it. And other of them just seem really, really phoned in. The kings, queens, knights, and pages are fine. The Queen of Presents is actually really cute. I can't tell if she's supposed to be from Halloween Town. I would assume so. But it's like a squat little like goblin person pulling a pie out of an oven. Maybe she's from Christmas Town. It's kind of hard to tell because it doesn't really matter. Now, see, this is again where I'm like one of those crazy fans who's reading way too much into it, which means I'm exactly who this was made for. You know, overall, I think that this deck was done really well. Not all of the characters chosen for the kings, queens, knights, and pages are immediately recognizable, especially not if you're not like a really big fan. of the movie, but while they may not be characters you can name immediately, they are very evocative. And I think that they do a good job of differentiating the energy between the face cards, as it were. The Queen of Candles is interesting. It's a black cat in front of a candle. It's a nice card. I'm just flipping through the deck now. The world is really, really cool. I really like it. It's that little area that you only see in the very beginning of the movie that has the different trees that have the different portals into the different holiday worlds. And it's a good card. Overall, despite my few criticisms of this deck, I am very, very happy with it. I think that between the extremely premium card stock, the clear amount of love and attention that went into imagining these cards, and the great guidebook, this is a deck that a beginner reader could easily pick up. Again, some of those minors are a little harder, but again, with the guidebook, it's a really solid place to work from. And for a fan of Nightmare Before Christmas, this would make an excellent, excellent gift to yourself or for another person. This is going to be a deck that I'm going to really enjoy bringing out when I can do tarot readings in person again. Just because it's so cute and people will really appreciate it, I think. Overall, I'm super happy with it. I'm definitely interested in checking out more work from both the illustrator and the guidebook writer. Again, the illustrator is Abigail Larson, and Minerva Siegel wrote the guidebook. And I'm super happy that I got this for myself. I'm trying not to buy tarot decks as often because I have a lot that I hardly touch, especially these days when I'm not doing professional readings as often. But I'm really happy with this deck, and I look forward to using it for years to come. So I hope that was entertaining or useful for you, especially if you're potentially thinking of picking up this deck. If you are even a little bit interested in Nightmare Before Christmas and tarot, I think that this is a deck that you should own. If you can, try to buy it from a small business. I did try to get it from a couple of my favorite local stores that I know sometimes carry tarot decks, and they were not able to fulfill it. But it's worth a shot. So if you have an occult store or a bookstore, I would definitely try to get it from there if you can. I guess maybe because it's not from one of the major publishers, that's why they had a harder time. But I think it is super awesome. I'm super happy I have it. If anyone's listening and wants me to review their deck, I would love to. Point me in the direction. Obviously, I would take a review copy, especially like if you're an indie deck creator and you have like a deck that has a blemish or something that you're unsure if you can sell. I would love to do a review, try to get the word out. But also I'd be happy to buy it, you know, especially if it's a deck I'm interested in. So if you have a particular deck that you want me to review, your own or somebody else's, feel free to email me. I'm antifragiletarot@gmail.com. And let me know. I will definitely take a look. And I don't make any promises, but I'd certainly be interested in seeing what other people want. I have done reviews in the past on the Wild Unknown and Animal Spirit decks. And I probably did some other deck reviews that I'm completely spacing on now because I am a trash goblin and have no idea what I've said 5 minutes ago. Y'all probably pay way more attention to what I say than I do. Mr. Antifragile just pointed out the 40 servants that I currently have on my window from a working that I did. Yes, I did my 40 servants deck review as well. So there's that. You can also find me on other places. I am Antifragile Tarot on Instagram. I post semi-regularly. I've been posting a lot of Jewish stuff lately. Again, just really haven't been doing much of the tarot. I am Anti-Fragile Card on the Twitters. Not that I Twitter too often, but I'm going to try to do more tarot and witchy tweeting, because why not? I'm also still on Facebook, like an old lady. I'm Anti-Fragile Tarot there. And if you want to support this podcast and my donations to different charities, I donate 20% of what I earn from my Patreon, as well as other money from my regular job. You can find me on Patreon at Anti-Fragile Tarot. After my semester is over, this is my last semester of my bachelor's degree, I will actually have some time. I will not be back in school for a while. I do have some personal projects I'm going to be working on. I'm learning Spanish. I'd like to pick up the ukulele again. I also need to take my certified emergency nurse test. But it will not be the same pressure and deadlines of 12 credits of college. So hopefully I can devote a little more time to things like getting back on my astrology game. So thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you. Let me know what you'd like to hear on this here podcast. And I hope you have a witchy and or wonderful day. I will talk to you all later. Bye.